Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres completed a sweep of the Braves, and today, our host Jesse Agler has dragged his buddy Bill Center in here to talk some baseball.
Somebody suggested that adult protective services be called, so I just want to make sure, you know, that we get your consent here.
Elder and
that,
abuse?
Yeah, that you're doing this out of your own volition and that you're totally fine.
I think I might go with that elder abuse.
With no baseball being played until tomorrow, we're asking Bill to look into the future, both near and distant of the Padres.
Hey, Bill, what will be the first name of the Padres' first baseman in 2050?
In 2050?
Yeah, so in like 35, 40 years.
What will be the first name?
Yeah, now, see, this one's a little tough.
I'd say Trevor.
Okay.
I'm going with Trevor.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. He is Bill Center. I am Jesse Agler, and we are at the AMR studio in beautiful Petco Park, which is located in beautiful downtown San Diego. That is a live look at San Diego Bay at 5:31 p.m. on Thursday, August 20th.
That is a gorgeous shot.
You know, I've lived here for like a year and a half now. And there are days when that thing goes up on the screen here during the show, and I was like I would live here.
Right.
That's unbelievable. It's right across the street. Literally right across the tracks and the street.
On the other side of the convention center.
It's right there.
Right.
Like, if I got up to one of the upper levels of Petco Park, I might be able to throw a baseball to that water or, like, in the vicinity of that water. Like, that's doable.
Probably hit the trolley, and then they'd come and arrest you.
Yeah, no, you would have to, like, block everything off.
Yeah.
And make it, you know, a safety thing. Right. Like Bavacqua catching the ball off the roof all those years ago. It would have to be something like that. But, I mean, that's how close we are to the Bay. Hey, you got your broom? Sweep? How about that?
Yes, finally.
The elusive second sweep of the season for the Padres.
Third, because before they swept the Colorado in May, they had actually swept the Giants before that three-game series here.
Are you?
Absolutely sure.
You're positive?
Absolutely.
What am I missing here?
Oh, well, it was they in their post-game notes yesterday. It said it was their second sweep of the year.
Right.
It was actually the third. It was the first since May 1st through 3rd.
It was the first, which was Colorado.
Right. Well, that was the second one.
That was the second one.
Right. There was a sweep early in April.
There was a sweep early in April. The first home series. Is that what you're referring
to? They swept the Giants here, I think.
You're right. No, they lost the first game. It was a four-game series.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, and they lost.
I apologize.
They lost the home opener 1-0.
Okay.
What am I missing?
Then. Well, I knew they had won three straight against the Giants.
I
didn't realize it was a four-game
series. You had blocked out the 1-0 loss in the home opener.
Right.
Okay, so it was the second
sweep
of the season yesterday against the Atlanta Braves. All right, we're off to a wonderful start here.
Yes,
and a lot of fun stuff to talk about from that game yesterday. Hey, look, the nice thing is you go back to the last three series now for the Padres. Last week, Cincinnati, they take 2 out of 3. Colorado over the weekend, they take 2 out of 3. And then they take all three against the Atlanta Braves. And, in fact, as you probably have heard by now, they have won 10 consecutive home games against the Braves going back several seasons. This is, I guess, what we expected, right, all year long?
Yeah, this is what we wanted. This is what we thought was going to happen, that they would play this way. And they're playing, you know, perfectly honestly, Braves aren't a great team, but they have picked up their game quite a bit in the last week or so.
They had been playing better, there's no doubt. Tyson Ross did his thing yesterday, 1 run on 6 hits in 6 innings. He helped himself out a bunch, but he also got some help.
Right.
Nick Markakis comes to the plate with men on in the 6th inning. And how about we go ahead and make this blooper? What do you say? Our Montalvo Tequila smooth play of the game. One of the absolute best defensive plays we have seen all season by the San Diego Padres. In the box score, it's a 6-4-3 double play. But Amarista with the slide and the flip, and then Jerko with the bare hand. This is really one of the top plays we've seen season long.
The glove flip, I loved it. I really didn't think that he had that one in him. And Amarista, every once in a while, surprises you. And Yeah, that was a great play. That was an absolutely exceptional play.
We've had some really fun defensive plays right. This year. You had Will Venable taking a homer away from Mike Trout. You had the Justin Upton catch this week where he went face first into the left field wall. Those come to mind. Obviously, the double play yesterday. Do you have a favorite or best defensive play of the year at this point for the Padres?
Actually, the one yesterday is pretty tough. The Venable catch, I think, was probably the best catch I've seen.
Okay.
Upton was great at the wall, but I thought the Venable catch had elements to it that, one, he had to turn and run. You know, he had to lose track of the ball there for a second because he had to run to the spot to make that catch. But, did OD love that catch.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Right, exactly. But I thought the Venable catch and the play yesterday were probably the two best plays I've seen.
All right, so you're putting the Venable catch over the Upton catch.
Yes,
in
I am.
Left field.
Right, I am.
I wonder what people think about that. Hashtag PadresSH on Twitter if you want to get in on that. Favorite defensive play of the year. I think for a lot of people it's going to be yesterday. It's going to be the double play, Amarista to Jerko to Alonso. That was smooth operating out of Alexi.
That was stunning because, I mean, you just haven't seen a lot of that from Alexi. It's the – He makes the routine plays, but it's the balls that are hit to either side where he struggles a little bit. That was a great play.
It really was.
That really was a great play.
And Jerko sort of adding to it with
right.
the bare hand.
With the bare hand and the turn and the throw to first. I mean, that was a really good double play.
All right, Blooper, I'll let you take a vote on this one or have a vote on this one. Your favorite defensive play of the year.
This one's my favorite, but my second favorite is Upton in Pittsburgh.
Upton in Pittsburgh. Where he went up over and took the home run away.
Right.
That's another good one.
I still like Venable.
You're going with Venable. No love for Upton crashing into the wall?
Sentimental.
You are very sentimental.
Right.
We'll allow you to reflect
no,
on the legacy
of
Will Venable
right.
coming up.
What is strange is this year they've had some great plays, and they've had some defensive plays that you know are sort of just mystifying.
Sure.
Balls like the Melvin Upton Jr. in right center last week was just like, okay.
Yeah,
that's
they just stopped and the ball
right,
dropped.
Right, and that's like, okay, what are we thinking about here?
That was the cycle game.
Right.
That got sort of buried a little bit after Matt Kemp completed the cycle
Thank
with
God.
The ninth inning triple. Yeah, and good for them. Good for them. All right, so the defensive play yesterday, our Montalvo Tequila, smooth play of the game. Montalvo Tequila, triple distilled, exceedingly smooth and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. Some really good defensive plays and highlights this season. Certainly the double play yesterday, one of them.
You know, another one I really, just because of who it was the leaping catch that Norris made at first base a couple weeks. I mean, for somebody who has never played first base to go up there and catch that one, I mean, he had to time the jump perfectly. Mm-hmm. And that ball was smoked.
It was either the Phillies or the Reds. It was the last
right.
homestand. No, it was the Rockies. They're all blending together at this
right.
point, aren't
well,
they?
Well, they do that in August.
That's what happens.
I mean, that is really an outstanding play.
Yeah, it was over the weekend in Colorado. Funny, like you, I thought it was a week or two ago, but it was last weekend.
Last weekend.
You're right, though. And Alonso's had a couple of those,
right.
two, those jumping ones. But he's a natural
right.
first baseman,
he's,
you
right.
sort of expect it. I get your point.
And right, and he had – He couldn't – he had to time that perfectly, and he had to – I mean, that's as high as he can go. I thought that was a great – I really thought that was an exceptional play.
No, it absolutely was, and I'd be interested to see what people have to say about their favorite defensive plays of the year. We should really push Blooper to the limit here and see, because he called up that Derek Norris highlight very, very,
very
quickly.
Very nicely, yes.
Very, very quickly. He called it up sooner than we realized when it was actually from. So I would love to test Blooper out here and just start coming up with, like, good defensive plays and see if he's actually got them in his computer.
See if he's got them in his computer?
Well, what about Upton in Pittsburgh? I feel like we've mentioned that a couple of times. I don't know that...
He's going to it right now.
I don't know if he has access to it.
He's searching. He's still searching.
Oh, look at this.
Here he is.
2-1 game, bottom of the fifth, PNC Park, Andrew McCutchen to deep left. And he took it away. That
right.
was a great catch.
That was a great catch.
So that's Blooper's second favorite.
Now let's go back to the Venable, though.
there have been some good defensive right. plays this year, certainly.
I think we got to go back to the Venable.
Against Trout.
Yeah, I just want to see it one more time.
Okay, so Mike Trout hits
it
to center field.
Now we'll have him back to back.
Sure. I mean, they're both sensational plays.
But Venable had a longer run to make to make the leaping catch at the wall.
So you're giving him a higher degree of difficulty.
Right. I might even give not quite the height on the leap. Upton was way up there, but I thought the degree of difficulty was on Venable's side.
I think the two of those, I like the Upton one better. I got to tell you.
Wow.
Now, they're also both against star players, which is cool.
Right.
Like, they're against Trout and McCutcheon, respectively. So, like, if the Upton one was against, you know, whoever, you know, from the Pirates, like a random, like Neil Walker or something, right. It wouldn't have been as big of a deal. But the fact that it's McCutcheon and the fact that it's Trout really adds to it. But are you taking the double play over both of those from yesterday?
No, I'm taking Venable.
You're going straight Venable.
I like the Venable catch. Because he had to put his head down and run to a spot knowing where the ball was going to be before he looked up the second time. That, to me, I mean, if the Upton catch, he had the angle, he's going to the wall, he knows where it's going to be, he knows what he's got to do. Venable had to turn, run with his back to the plate to get there. That's more Willie Mays-ish than
invoking Willie Mays.
Oh, well, that I was alive for that catch, and I remember
1954,
right?
World Series the Indians,
right? And how far that ball was hit, given the place where it was hit,
Polo Grounds,
right? That was a long, long run over the head.
Imagine if Twitter existed in 1954.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
People would be going crazy over the Willie Mays catch.
If there's one catch in baseball history that stands out being replayed more than any other catch, that's the catch.
I would say that, without a doubt. All right, so fun start to the show. As I say, curious, because we saw one of the defensive highlights of the year yesterday, if people had a favorite defensive play of the season. We'll take a break, come back. I want to talk a little bit more about last night's or yesterday afternoon's game, the sweep against the Braves. The bullpen, certainly a little bit more on Tyson Ross. Solarte, who just continues to come up with big hits, and it seems like from both sides of the plate, and it seems like at any point in the game, he has developed, to me, into being one of the top stories of the season
right.
at this point.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the more consistent players. He wasn't strong in June, July. But since the start of the year, one of the more consistent players that they've had.
All right, we'll talk more about Jan Hervis and everything else coming up in a little bit. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. So visit the new Maui Waui locations inside the ball yard, at the park, or on the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Take a break. More on yesterday's game, plus your Twitter questions and comments, defensive plays, and otherwise. Padres Social Hour, presented by Unite.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United, Jesse Agler and Bill Center. Yesterday, Padres completed the sweep of the Atlanta Braves. Matt Kemp extended his hitting streak to 12 games. Derek Norris extended his to 7. Fun over the course of the games against the Braves, seeing both Uptons, Kimbrel really leave their mark on the series. Those guys in any sport, they're never going to say, yeah, I really wanted to shove it. You know, but you got to know it felt good for those guys.
Just like on the other side, you know it had to feel good for Maben if they had won a game because he had a heck of a series. Well, he scored 4 of their 5 runs in the series.
Yeah, it matters. Yeah. They're never going to say it.
No.
They're never going to say it, but it has to matter, right?
Absolutely.
Human nature.
Yeah. Let me show you.
Yeah, exactly.
You made a mistake.
Melvin Upton hitting, 290 since July 7th,
He's really picked his game up. I mean, offensively, and he's contributed a couple home runs. He's had a couple big hits. He's had the last two steals, both of them played a role. He's really playing better, which is interesting because I would imagine that the Padres would love to find a way to move him in the offseason. And if he were to, have a good finish to the season, they might, it might be worth something. They're going to have to eat part of that contract.
Yeah, no, I think if they do move him, they will. What about for the rest of this year, though? Travis Jankowski is now here.
Right.
He's yet to make his major league debut, but we certainly expect that, if not tomorrow, then Saturday or Sunday. Pat Murphy's been a little coy about it, I think. Straight platoon? Is that what we should expect?
No, I think that you're going to see more Jankowski because they need – when they go into next winter – or next spring training, they need to know, boy, do we think this guy is our center fielder and our leadoff hitter? Now, I don't know if we're going to see a lot of him at the leadoff spot right now because you don't want to throw all that pressure on him his first couple weeks in the major leagues. But I think that with Jankowski, they are looking at him as possibly filling two big holes on this team, a center fielder that can go get the ball in the gaps, which he can. He's got great speed. He's got great reads. He's a plus-plus defender in the outfielder, in the outfield. Arm's not the best, but that's the only downside to him as a center fielder. And he's developed this great ability to get on base, good first to third, good first to home speed, pretty good base stealer. So he projects as your center fielder, your leadoff hitter, and you're going to want to know going into next spring that, boy, he can fill that spot.
All right. It'll be very interesting to see his progress over the next 6 weeks because, you know, he's going to get his debut. It's
right.
going to be overwhelming, I would imagine. You know, not to get too far inside his head. Who knows? Maybe he'll be totally fine. But I'm just guessing that it's going to be overwhelming, at least at first. Then he's going to get an opportunity to settle in, get an opportunity to play a few times a week, and how he progresses between now and the end of the year. Look, human nature, again, to put pressure on yourself in one of those situations. But he's not winning or losing a roster spot next year based solely on what happens in the next 6 weeks.
No, but they're going to want to know. They're going to want to have a pretty good idea of what he can do. And a little thing here is he's not your classic type of hitter. He's a slap hitter. He's a singles guy. He knows how to use the bat. Doesn't have a lot of power. Very few doubles. What he does is he finds a way to get on first, and then once he's on first, work his way around the bases from there.
How do you like a Juan Pierre comparison?
I think Pierre had a little bit more punch to his bat.
Okay.
Just a little bit more. I think Jankowski probably has a little bit more walk in his game.
Okay.
If he plays as he projects, he's going to be a high on base guy, but don't ever look at his slugging percentage.
Okay. All right. So he can get himself on base.
Pretty close to the same.
Yeah. Walks and singles
right.
is what you're projecting.
Walks and singles.
All right.
And then once he gets on base, good speed, first to third, good speed, first to home. And he can steal bases.
You mentioned the stolen bases. I mean, I've heard people use Billy Hamilton's name the last few days when talking about him. Is he in that universe?
No.
Okay.
He's not. He doesn't have that kind of speed. He's a smart base runner. He does not have the blazing Hamilton speed, but he is fast. He will be the fastest player on this team
in a straight line.
Right. But Hamilton's a completely different class of
okay.
speed.
So we shouldn't be trying to expect 60, 70, 80 stolen bases from this guy in a full season.
No.
Okay. Just trying to set expectations for everybody here.
He had 71 at single A, at high A. So he's going to steal bases, but his game is more run and hit, movement, first to third. I think there will be very few times where you're going to see if he's on first and there's a single to right, he's going to be on third.
Right. Okay. Good to know. Just trying to get as much intel as we can about Travis Jankowski. And, of course, once he actually starts playing this weekend, presumably, we'll be able to actually see him and make up our own minds
right.
about things and see what he's got. It's going to be fun.
I am really excited to see him. Yeah. And what's interesting is his move up here sort of created a chain reaction in the minor leagues yesterday.
Sure.
You had Hunter Renfro immediately go to AAA El Paso, and yesterday in his AAA debut, he goes 3-for-4 with a double, a home run, and 4 RBIs in his first AAA game. That, to me, that's significant because San Antonio and the Texas League is not a hitter's league. Now he's in a hitter's league, and it'll be interesting to see the numbers he puts up between now and the end of the season, because that may dictate where he is next year, too.
Interesting year for Hunter Renfro.
Very interesting year. He really struggled in the Texas League, which, one, it's a tough league. It's a tough league for hitters to begin with. El Paso's a tough ballpark to hit for power. San Antonio's a tough place to hit for power. Now that he's at El Paso, going to be very interesting to see what he does.
All right. Meanwhile, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports reporting about the Padres trade with the Texas Rangers. Remember, we've been waiting to find out who this player to be named later is. Ken Rosenthal confirming an earlier report from Jeff Wilson, who covers the Rangers for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, that right-handed pitcher John Edwards, not the former senator from North Carolina, is the player to be named later. He is on waivers right now and must clear before the deal can be completed. So either Edwards will clear waivers and then come over to the Padres, or
he'll be blocked.
And you have to wait till the offseason.
Right.
That's kind of the situation. So there you go. We'll get as much information as we can about John Edwards, reportedly the player to be named later in this Will Venable deal.
And they want to add pitching depth. So that it's not surprising that it was. I was sort of hoping out that they have a off-injured shortstop in their system who I really like. And I was sort of when I first heard they had made this deal with the Rangers, I was hoping that the player to be named later was going to be Jurickson Profar, but no, he was not.
Not to be. Not to be. John Edwards, 27-year-old right-hander, and came up, made his Major League debut last year. So, all right, we'll find out more about John Edwards as time goes on, but reportedly the player to be named later in the deal. All right, we got some Twitter questions and comments coming in. We were talking in the first segment, right, about the defensive plays of the year. Was it the double play yesterday? One of the Upton catches, the Venable catch against Mike Trout. Paul chimes in with, hey, how about every stolen base thrown out by Norris this year? He wants a collective play of the year. I see what he's saying, 30-whatever.
Absolutely, 30. I think we're at 32.
31 or 32, yeah, for catcher caught stealing.
Which is a very high number. But some of them have been outstanding. What I really like about Norris is his ability to put the ball right where it needs to be, on the runner. I mean, if you can have a great arm and you can wing it down to second, but if the second baseman has to take it and lower it to the runner, Norris has the uncanny ability to put the ball between the infielder and the runner as it's coming to the bag. That is good.
By the way, the other day I ended up in the dugout yesterday before the game with Eduardo Ortega and Carlos Hernandez, who, of course, broadcast the games on Fox Deportes here in Espanol on TV. And listening, I was going to say I talked catching with Carlos, but really I listened catching to Carlos. He was talking about catching and some of the different things, you know, that he used to do. I learned more in the 15 minutes that we sat there talking than I probably knew my entire life about it. My goodness, what a resource.
Right.
And what a smart catcher Carlos was.
Very smart. I mean, a key member of the pennant-winning team, 98. But Carlos was such an exceptional, great move when they got Carlos Hernandez here. And what was tragic is a year later when he suffered the Achilles tendon injury during spring training in Tucson. Oh, that was really sad. I loved Carlos, and pitchers loved Carlos. Carlos caught with a sense of humor, which is very – and a couple pitchers talked about that he would catch with a sense of humor, that if things weren't going quite well, he wasn't one to get upset about what was going on. He was one to, like, break the tension, play his game, and get you through it.
We always talk about the psychology of baseball and the pitcher-catcher dynamic, such a big part of that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, more Twitter questions, try and get some more information on the Rangers pitcher, John Edwards, not currently on the big league roster, but reportedly the player to be named later in the Will Venable deal. Hey, join the Padres for Pedal at the Park, an inaugural radio telethon and cycling event coming up September 12th. All proceeds will benefit Pedal the Cause, and local cancer research centers. Participants get to do a one-hour cycling class on the field. It features a DJ. We'll have the Padre game on the big board, plus a post-party and more. To register, visit padres.com/pedal, padres.com/pedal. I'm going to take a moment here. So I'll be co-hosting that radio telethon. Social Hour will actually be a part of the telethon that day, September 12th. And we had a conference call today where I really got a lot of the details and a lot of the information about it. This is going to be a really, really special few hours. We're going to have it on Fox Sports San Diego. We're going to have it on the radio on the Mighty 1090 from, I think, 2 o'clock that afternoon until 5:30 when the pregame show will begin.
Wow.
And we're going to have patients here. We're going to have doctors here. We're going to have family members here. And you know, some other surprises kind of sprinkled in. This event, Pedal the Cause, is so important to help these different institutes and different hospitals here in the San Diego area. And that day, we're going to do our best to raise, you know, as much money as we can. And it's going to be a really, really special few hours. So I hope people will tune in early. It's a Saturday before the game in San Francisco against the Giants, September 12th. So please do mark that down, and you can check out more details at padres.com/pedal. Take a break. Come back. Your Twitter questions and more right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Hi, welcome back with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. The reports are that John Edwards, 27-year-old right-handed pitcher from the Texas Rangers, is the player to be named later in the Will Venable deal. So he will be coming to the Padres, assumingly when he clears waivers. 14th round pick in 2006 out of high school as an outfielder. Played for the drafted by the Cardinals. Played for the Cardinals organization until 2010. 2011, independent league baseball, and then a minor league deal with the Rangers in 2012, at which point he was converted to a pitcher. So he was an outfielder, kind of washed out as a member of the Cardinals organization as an outfielder, converted to a pitcher, and made his big league debut just about 1 year ago. Last August with the Rangers, he's pitched in 6 big league games this season, so most of the year in the minor leagues.
Very interesting. So A.J. Preller would have seen him at the developmental stage as a pitcher.
Yes.
So he must have seen something in him that he really likes, because this was the key guy of the – of the trade coming back.
That's what he said. I think I might have just said 6 games. I meant 6 innings this year at the big league level. 11 games after 9 last season in the majors. So 20 big league games of experience for him. That's it.
Right.
And so, yes, we've seen him, or A.J. Preller has seen him as a developmental guy in the Ranger organization as a pitcher. Prior to that, an outfielder. Kind of interesting.
It is interesting. You know, Padres, another time in their life span, picked up an infielder turned pitcher, turned out to be a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, Trevor Hoffman.
Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah, that's
right.
Who you're referring to. No, certainly. All right, so there you go. That's reportedly the player to be named later. From yesterday's game, we were talking a lot about the play that Alexi Amarista, Jed Jerko, and Yonder Alonso made on that double play that Nick Markakis hit. It was a great play. Eduardo chimes in with this question. I see why after yesterday you might be interested in asking this, but has Amarista proven to be an everyday shortstop? Why or why not? Now, Bill, at the beginning of the season, we thought
I thought he was. Yeah. I really did. Given what he did at the end of last season, I thought he was an everyday shortstop. I will say that I am wrong. I think he's better off in a utility role. I don't think he's an everyday major league shortstop, and I think that the Padres do have to find a shortstop. And I know a lot of people thought, hey, Trey Turner, we traded away a great shortstop. Well, the Nationals have now decided that he may be better suited to play second base.
Yes.
So I'm, you know, without saying what, and maybe the Padres saw that too, that he wasn't the shortstop. That wasn't going to be the answer at shortstop. And so maybe that's what made that trade a little bit easier, because they didn't see him as a shortstop. Nationals don't either right now. But I do think they really do need to find a shortstop, and that's hard to do. It's very hard to go out and trade for a shortstop because, one, you're going to have to trade away the farm to get a good one.
If you looked up and down at the 30 teams, and I haven't done this, I would suspect a great number of them would like to upgrade at the shortstop position.
Yes.
Like, of the 30, how many are beyond content with what they've got at shortstop? It's got to be single digits, right? Maybe that's overstating it a little bit. I would think more than not. More than half the teams
right,
would say, yeah, we would love to have a different
guy. We'd love
to
have a better glove at shortstop, yeah.
Or a better bat.
Right. Well, yeah, I think the glove comes first
at
shortstop.
No, of course.
But, I mean, like, look at Simmons for the Braves. Not a great bat, a decent bat, but look at the ground that he covers.
Sensational.
I mean, Right. You can't. It's almost impossible to roll a ball through the left hand, the left side of the infield.
Yeah.
I think that if the Padres could even get somebody with that type of a glove. A glove at shortstop gives you a lot. I mean, Omar, I mean, a good glove at shortstop makes such a big difference.
Yeah, it can change games. And so can another thing that I think has reared its head a lot in the last week or so, and that's bullpen play. It's really easy, I think, as a Padre fan to take good relief pitching for granted.
Right.
Because it seems to have just always been there, certainly in the last 10 years or so. And there were rough moments this year for this bullpen. You know, there
right.
were big homers here
right.
and bad stretches there. But overall, they've gotten it going. And you look at the Braves from the last 3 days. You look at the Rockies on Friday and Saturday last week, and it's a reminder – don't take good relief pitching for granted, because if you don't have it, man, it is miserable to watch those games if you're a fan of that team.
In the three games that the Padres just played here, the Braves relievers worked 6 2/3 innings and gave up 10 runs. I mean, and they lost all – I mean, well, two of the three games they lost because of the bullpen. The other one was just a blowout.
But yeah.
But two of the three games, their bullpen absolutely failed.
Right on it.
Right.
Right on it. Absolutely. And you go back to Colorado, same kind of thing, and you just see it over and over
right.
with some of these teams that are really struggling down in the standings, and you think, boy, if the Padres had bad relief pitching this year, where might they be win-loss-wise?
Right.
And it could be very ugly.
The Padres had a couple bad spells, but recently the bullpen – you know, the bullpen's a little bit like umpires. When they're doing great, you don't really notice them.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. And recently, they've had very good work from their bullpen. Kelly, I mean, Maurer before he was hurt, right at the end, he was struggling because he wasn't, I mean, he had, his shoulder was acting up and he wasn't pitching very well. But Maurer for a long time, Sean Kelly now all the way back to the end of early June, those guys, and then Benoit and Kimbrel at the back, have been solid.
I'll get to Benoit and Kimbrel with you in a moment, but you just mentioned Sean Kelly, who came out yesterday and again was just really, really good. He's our firehouse sub of the game. Look, anytime as a reliever you come up with three strikeouts, two thumbs up. He came out and he, along with Benoit and Kimbrel, helped bridge the gap
right.
from Tyson Ross to victory. Benoit gave up the run. Kimbrel had a 1-2-3 inning. Kelly struck out the side, and it was just kind of a lights-out situation. So Sean Kelly, our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. You've got a great stat when it comes to the Padre bullpen. You were researching it yesterday. I saw you digging through your notebooks.
Right.
Benoit and Kimbrel together. Why don't you throw this one at us?
They've worked in tandem 8-9 and one time 9-10. They've worked in tandem 34 times this season, and the Padres are in those games where they've worked a total of 68 innings. Padres are 30-4. In those games. Now, some people say, well, shouldn't they be higher than that since they are always in save situations? They always haven't been. They've
right.
been three times they were out there in a tie game. But 30-4 with an ERA of like 1.81 when they work in tandem.
We're talking about, you know, how comforting it is to have a good bullpen, and perhaps nothing more comforting than having, you know, essentially shut down guys to be able to throw out there in the eighth and ninth innings.
Right. It's great to have the closer. It's also double nice to have the eighth inning guy. I mean, yes, they're going to give up runs. Nobody is – I mean, everybody is human. They're going to be runs scored. But these guys, late in games, are really a shutdown tandem.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, we got some more good questions coming in on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH. We'll get to those when we come back. Also want to kick something around. I got an idea that I want to throw at you about the way catchers are used in today's day and age. And we're going to put you on the hot seat in a little bit, and we're going to get your opinion, Bill Center, on catcher usage. But more Twitter questions when we come back. Send them in using that hashtag PadresSH. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Twitter questions and another waiver deadline deal taking place today around baseball. We'll talk about that when we return on Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres off today. Back at it. Tomata. St. Louis Cardinals come to town.
I like the Cardinals. I just love what Cardinal baseball means to that part of the world. I really do. I know one of the things I like about Cardinal fans is that no matter if it's a good play, if the Cardinals have a great play mm-hmm. for a Cardinal home game, mm-hmm. they go crazy. Mm-hmm. But if there's a significant mm-hmm. moment, the other team, or mm-hmm. if they make a good play,
yeah.
they.
So you like them because they're like Little League fans, basically.
Well, no, they're not. They're,
they are. They're Little League fans.
They're knowledgeable.
Oh, no, it's okay. You try hard next time. That's great when it's 12-year-old kids. It's lame in pro sports.
They're knowledgeable baseball fans.
That's not what you were just talking about.
No,
you were
I
saying
was.
They're giving credit whenever anybody makes a nice play. And that's
but
little. That's great for
no,
kids.
No, no.
Kids need
I'm
the encouragement.
Multi-million
dollar professional athletes
don't
need to be patted
about.
On the head.
When they see
when they
a,
don't
when
do
they
well
see
or
a
when
great
they do.
Play on the mm-hmm. other side.
Yeah.
Like when Tony Gwynn was going for his 3,000th
uh-huh.
hit.
Now, that's a very extreme, specific circumstance. They could be playing a Tuesday night game against Seattle in interleague play, and a guy hits a ground ball to the right side to move the runner from second to third for the Mariners, and they'll give him a standing ovation. They're a bunch of childish clowns.
I'm talking about the really great plays, like the play. There was a play in St. Louis last week where they.
I don't want to talk anymore about the Cardinal fans.
Okay.
The most overhyped group of people on the planet Earth.
Wow.
Overhyped. Overhyped.
Oh, no. Worse than. I mean, you hold them in the same. I mean, well, you know how I feel about Giants fans.
Yeah, this is nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Nobody talks about the Giant fans like they're so much better or more knowledgeable than other fan bases. They just show up because their team wins. That's normal. The Cardinal thing, not normal. A, they show up because the team wins. B, they show up because it's St. Louis, and what else are you going to do?
That's absolutely true. I'll give you that one.
And C, they treat it like a Little League game.
No.
And I'm all for giving the 12-year-olds support. The grown men on the other team, they don't need it. They're fine. You don't have to clap for them. It doesn't make you better than everybody else.
So how do you come out in this Harrison thing. It's very interesting that you saw the Pittsburgh Steeler where he got on his kids.
With the participation
right.
thing.
Right. And I totally agree with him.
You agree with him? With
absolutely.
James Harrison? That's
yeah,
that's
James,
the kind of person you want to come down on the side of, is James Harrison.
I just think that, boy, in the world these days, mm-hmm. you give out awards for participating?
Mm-hmm.
No. Give out awards for doing something,
yeah.
just not for being there.
I got it.
So, in other words, I wouldn't give Cardinal fans an award just for being there.
You kind of are, though.
No, I'm giving them award because when
I don't want to talk about the Cardinal fans. They're overhyped.
What about James Harrison?
They're overhyped. James Harrison is a whack job. Before he said that and after.
Right. Well,
he's
a
total
whack
job.
He's a whack
yeah,
job.
Yeah, so I don't generally
right.
allude or align
is he
myself.
Right or wrong?
I think in this circumstance, I would say he's wrong.
I get
the whole participation trophy argument.
Oh,
I think it's
no.
utterly harmless. It's utterly harmless. And by the way, you're saying all they did was show up? That's not true. If you're a little kid and you're going through an entire season of something, you didn't have to do that. You stuck with it. There are plenty of kids that quit or that don't even try to do that. And, you know, if it makes them feel a little bit better about themselves, I see no harm in that. But you're older and crankier than I am, so I understand why you might feel otherwise. But as long as we're talking about football for a brief moment,
yes.
You and Blooper before the show were going over fantasy football.
Right.
Because he's in your league.
Right.
Which is just hilarious on its face. But incredibly, and I had forgotten about this because it's been so long since football season, your fantasy football league is completely analog.
Right.
There is no website for
it's
anybody to
a,
jump.
It's not even analog. It's pretty much.
It's handwritten.
Right. Handwritten.
It's not even typewriter.
Right.
You do all the scoring manually.
Mm-hmm.
There is no website.
Nope.
There is you do it all with like a pen and paper.
Right.
That's incredible.
It's
insane, but it's incredible.
It's been this way. We haven't changed our league, and we're one of the older leagues, the J. David Dominelli Football League.
Yes.
Because he was a shyster here, and he went to jail, and he ripped a lot of people off.
Right.
And so our league motto is, if anybody lived a fantasy, he did.
Got it.
Right.
Got
so,
it.
But yes, for 35 years, it's been the same way. We're not going to change. And one day we'll probably say we're not doing it anymore, and that'll be it.
So if you play your fantasy football like a normal modern person on Yahoo or on NFL.com or whatever.
Well, I don't want to talk to you.
No, I understand. Basically, at the end of the Monday night game, you know if you won or lost. You've got the final score. It's all tabulated. Blooper, you were in this league last year. When were the scores released for the week?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Sometimes Thursday, depending how busy Bill was that week.
Right, depending on how busy I am that week.
Thursday. The next week of games is already starting on Thursday.
Now, wait a second.
How are you supposed to strategize?
Every year at our annual meeting, we open it to questions, and we throw it open to anybody want to make any changes. Right, Blooper?
Yes.
And what happens?
And where is this meeting held? Epcot in like the old-timey land?
We hold it out at the Chargers. We hold it in the media trailer at the Chargers. But we open it up, and I tell everybody on the floor, we are open to suggestions and changes, right?
We were the youngest people by 20 years. We didn't want to propose anything.
Well, now that it's year two, Blooper, I would encourage you to propose that they go to at least a digital scoring system.
That ain't going to happen.
Why do you – you don't have time for that.
I got time. Oh. Get up early in the morning.
I guess you do.
But the 1 year we had one guy who I made a mistake. And
obviously, because you're doing fantasy football scoring by hand.
Right.
That's something that the computers are here for.
But I robbed him of a point the first week of the season. And he had actually won the week with about 70 points, which is really high in our league. And so he made a major point of pointing this out. So every week after that, I started the release by saying, as he fell.
The release, by the way. There's a release.
There's a press release each week.
Every week, a weekly press release.
Yeah.
And what press does it go to?
It's just circulated amongst us. It's like 6 pages long.
Internal release. So it's like a little newsletter.
It rips people. We ripped Patrick Kurish and Blooper up one side and down the other last
year. Seth, if you're not going to propose digital scoring at the meeting this year,
it would take too long for these guys to learn how to use a computer.
Fair enough. What I would propose then is I think you should make the scoring system even more complicated to put even more Bill on Bill's plate. Maybe say, you know, touchdowns instead of being worth, what are they in your league? How many?
6, unless it's a receiver. A pass play is 3 each.
Okay, a pass. Maybe like 2.64 or something like that.
We can do it.
Yeah, just really overcomplicate the thing and make it tougher on him. All right, we're calling all midshipmen. Join the Padres Wednesday, September 2nd for Naval Academy night and get a Padres hat in Naval Academy colors. Oh, if you went to Annapolis, you're going to like this one. Enjoy a night of baseball as the Padres face off the Rangers at 7:10. Only tickets purchased through Padres.com/Naval Academy will include the hat. Hats are limited to the first 500, so get your tickets now. Padres.com/Naval Academy. Unbelievable.
Hey,
unbelievable.
And
paper
just,
and pen.
Seth's just been fined 5 points.
We'll take a break, come back. Questions, Marlon Byrd trade to the Giants, and more when we return.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Been an exciting waiver trade period around baseball. Padres made a deal, of course, today. Giants and the Reds. Marlon Byrd going from Cincinnati to San Francisco for a double-A pitcher. Fourth year in a row that Marlon Byrd has been traded. This is now his ninth team in 14 seasons. 9 teams for Marlon Byrd, yet he is yet to play for the Marlins, which is his name,
Marlon,
or any of the Byrd teams.
Or any of the Byrd teams.
None of the Byrd teams.
How about that?
That's a travesty.
Right.
That Marlon Byrd will have been on 9.
You come up with something like that.
9 different teams.
You're all over my football league.
Exactly. East Village Times, Bill wants to know, do we foresee another trade before the end of the month from the Padres?
Yes, I do. I see one more.
Uno más. Any guesses?
Pitcher,
position player.
I think it'll be a pitcher.
Okay. All right. Hey, whether you're a casual wine sipper like Bill Center or more of a connoisseur like Blooper, you won't want to miss Wine Fest at Petco Park. Enjoy this happy hour event from 4:30 to 7 before the game tomorrow night against the Cardinals. Enjoy wines from local and regional wineries. Ticket packages available at padres.com/party. Wine Fest tomorrow night before the game. Social Hour concludes right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, we're running out of time. We're going to put Bill on the Cholula hot seat. Major League Baseball released the postseason schedule for this year earlier this week. Game 1 of the World Series is scheduled for October 27th. Game 1 October 27th. That is late. Game 7 would be November 4th. A four-game sweep would be the only way this thing ends in October. What can we do?
I don't like it being that late.
I know. Nobody does.
Nobody does.
So what can we do?
It's not
baseball. How do you fix it?
It's not baseball anymore in November. How do we fix it?
That's what I'm asking.
I think we cut the season back to 154 games.
That's your plan.
We get rid of I think we make it an all-around schedule. I mean, a regular schedule. Don't base it on divisions and cut it back to 154.
All right. Massive realignment and 154 game season is Bill Center's idea. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30, Padres and Cardinals Wine Fest. Enjoy.